Those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com. Hello everyone and welcome to yet another gaming show, the Video Gaming Netcast, brought to you by the Fantasy Pants Gangsters of FantasyPantsGangsters.com. And this might be an interesting show.
Yeah.
I have no idea how this show's going to go.
Have we done? We've only done this once, haven't we?
That's possible.
I think it was you and I, too.
I think it might have been, yeah. It's just the two of us this week. Myself, Evan, and of course, Ashley Hay, back from her nunnery.
Hello.
Nunnery?
Yeah, you go to a convent 3 weeks out of the year.
With boys.
You're a nun reservist. You're not a nun full-time. But it's just you know, the couple weeks a month.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, yeah.
I like it.
But yeah, Ian couldn't make it because of some work stuff, and Mike had a doctor's appointment all of a sudden. And on top of that, I had a couple guests lined up, and they all had to cancel. It's like, I think somewhere there's a surprise party for us that they're all going to.
But we're not invited.
But they forgot to invite us. They didn't even come up with like a shitty pretense.
Right.
So
bastards.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there, but that's okay because we have a lot to talk about because we were off last week.
Yes,
as most of you know, it was a snow day.
If you're not savvy to the Midwest, that happens when there's an ice storm.
It was more of an ice day than a snow day.
It was the worst. Like, even though we haven't had a lot of snow here, it was the worst shoveling experience I had.
It wasn't snow, it was pudding.
Oh my God. Yeah. And like, I live down the hill, so everybody's water made like all my sidewalks 10 times heavier than everybody else's.
Yeah.
Like, it was like a slush machine. Like, you could tell that theirs had dried up and all the flavor was down by me.
I like that you call it the flavor.
Yeah.
Because like a snow cone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. No, on my driveway, I cleared, but on the sidewalk, it was exactly one shovel width because I have a push shovel.
Oh, okay.
So I just pushed it down the sidewalk, so it's like someone can walk safely, but they can't vary too much. I'm not gonna waste my time with the rest of this crap. So
I do the whole length of, and I'm a corner lot, so
so are we. So
yeah you are too.
Yeah, a lot of damn sidewalk. Hate that. Oh, anyway,
home ownership.
Yeah, this sucks. Wow. Okay, yeah, stay rental, kids. We'll just say
There's great things about owning a home though. I love it. Get those goddamn kids that make noise at night on top or below in the apartments, that sucks.
Well, yeah, but you used to live with those kids anyway, so that didn't really change your lifestyle that much.
True.
Yes. Anyway, we got stuff to talk about here. We got 2 weeks. We're just going to start off with the new releases, shall we?
I think we should.
We got 2 weeks of new releases to deal with.
This week is better than last week.
Yes, it is.
But we'll start with this week.
Sure. Or last week.
Last week. We're going to start, I guess, there was a bunch of PC release games last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that I've never heard of course, because I don't PC game. But nonetheless, I haven't heard any of you guys talk about it. So apparently, Deep Black Reloaded. Heard of that?
No idea.
Yeah, I guess it's set in a desolate near future of global terrorism and espionage as players become involved in a desperate fight for world supremacy and the possession of a sophisticated biological weapon.
It sounds a lot like a knockoff of Syndicate.
Yep. But was Syndicate PC?
It was.
Well, then I got nothing.
There's literally no reason to buy this game.
Moving on. Microsoft Flight. I think it's just like a flight simulator.
Yeah, Microsoft Flight. I mean, they were the flight simulator for a long time in terms of like civilian stuff. I mean, there was always kind of the military, you know, dogfighting games. But Microsoft Flight Simulator was the game. In fact, not to besmirch their, not to add to the badness of Microsoft, but that is what the 9/11 people, the hijackers, trained on, was Microsoft Flight Simulator.
No.
So, which might explain why they haven't released one in a few years. This is the first one in like 3 or 4 years that they've released. They used to be a yearly thing.
Yeah. It's Microsoft Flight is a flight simulator set to launch 28 years after the debut of Microsoft Flight Simulator 1.0.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And I believe this one's free.
Yeah, it doesn't. Well, the comments below, because we get this from GameSpot.com, it said a lot of people were really excited for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's important.
Yeah, Microsoft Flight Simulator was hugely popular. mostly because it was the only thing that you could do. Where I just want to fly like a Cessna around,
right? Like, I don't need to do anything fancy.
Yeah, I don't want to shoot missiles. Yeah. I don't want to do any of that crap. Just let me fly around. Yeah. I don't personally understand it, but a lot of people do.
Well, you know, I think it'd be cool, but it's just too bad it has like a negative thing.
I think at this point, it's not that big of a deal.
People have moved on.
Yeah, I think so.
Because if it wasn't...
Moved on, but they moved on from that particular aspect.
That's what I mean. I don't know. Okay, you know what I mean.
You're a terrible person.
Yes. And the Kingdom Age. Ever heard of that?
Yeah, that's another...
it's an RPG.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, crap. I can see the cover of it, but no, it's nothing special.
Yeah, it just looks RPG. Loot lusting action RPG is what it says.
Loot lusting.
Yeah.
Well.
I mean, that's kind of intriguing.
Sexy.
Yeah. I kind of like that. All right. Painkiller, reoccurring evil.
Oh, God. They made another painkiller.
Reoccurring evil.
Oh, God.
I like how a second one is called reoccurring. This game is reoccurring.
It was a first person shooter where you were an angel. And you were like, you've come down to Earth and you're fighting demons and shit. And it had such potential and it was such garbage. And yet they've made now, this I think is the third one they've made.
Yeah, it doesn't say how many they've made, but it's known as, it's just like your players are in a realm known as Hell. I did not know Hell was known as a realm.
It's a realm. It's a geographic area.
I guess you could call it a realm.
Yeah. But why the extra words? Why not just say your player is in Hell?
Yeah. Maybe some people don't know Hell. Maybe they're not Christian or don't know about Christian.
I think Hell is enough of a universal concept that people can...
You would think.
I think that they were padding the listing.
Yeah, because not very long.
No.
Next is the new guys, Day of the Jackass. It's got a 7.0.
Really? Mm. I know nothing about this.
Me either. Day of the Jackass is a point-and-click adventure that is a throwback to comedy games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it just looks... Well, Day of the Jackass, I would hope it'd be funny.
Yeah, it's probably a take on Day of the Tentacle, which was the second Maniac Mansion game. Mm. So, which you've probably never heard of.
No, I've heard of that.
Oh, okay.
I've just never played it. I've heard of some of these games, just never played them.
Oh.
Flatland Fallen Angle. Doesn't say angel. It says angle.
Do you think that's a misspelling on GameSpot's site? Or?
Well, in the listing, it also says, developed without a full-time artist, Flatland, Fallen Angle has a crisp, stripped back visual style which is augmented by its many-threaded audio direction. So maybe they do mean angle.
Huh.
Just really, maybe like Daft Punk made it or something.
Daft Punk made a game.
Yep.
I'd buy that.
Well, totally. Break Blocks, which is in the font that looks like Mario. So, not too impressed, Break Blocks.
Wow.
It's an action puzzle game.
You're kind of a hipster.
What, me?
Yeah, you.
Why?
You're besmirching it because it's using the Mario font.
But that is a copyrighted font. You can't just use that for another font. You whatever. Shush.
I don't think fonts should be copyrightable, but...
Well, people make them.
So?
So you have to pay to use them.
I think that's silly.
And I'm pretty sure Mario Games paid somebody to make that font for exclusively for them. There is somebody who made a very similar font, though. So maybe they're using the, like, generic
The knockoff.
Font. Yeah, the knockoff font.
The Costco font.
Yeah, which I use. I like to use a Star Wars knockoff font. So it's a puzzle action game that fuses the beat-based mechanics of games like Guitar Hero and Dance Dance Revolution with a color-based block puzzle.
Sounds hideous.
Or amazing,
I guess.
One of the two. And then there's a Mac game. Just
what?
A Mac.
Is there no console games last week? Did like nothing come out?
No, there are. I'm starting with the PC because there's so many of them.
Oh, well.
Squids is the
what
Mac
about
game.
Them?
It just says squids. Is it
squids with a Z?
No.
Oh.
It's spelled correctly.
Then I'm not interested.
For genre, it just says other strategy games. So I have no idea what Squids is about, but it's cute. It's super like kawaii and chibi.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, fine.
So those are the PC/Mac games.
And not a single fuck was given.
No.
No.
Moving on. So Xbox games, SSX. just says SSX.
Yeah, it's the...
The new one,
yeah,
right?
It's the new one. Yep, I know Ian is really excited for this.
But I thought this came out before. Or is it just debuting and just coming out now?
No, it's just coming out now. They've been talking it up for a while.
Right, because we both are excited for it. But well,
not
I didn't,
we, not me. I don't care.
I mean we by Ian and I. He is here in theory.
Yes.
Spirit. It's got an 8.5.
I've heard it's good.
Yeah.
So, and the thing is, a lot of people liked Tricky, which was the game before this.
Yes.
So,
that was the one before the last one, because one didn't do very good. Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've heard this is closer to Tricky than the previous one, so.
Yeah, Tricky was awesome.
You like Tricky?
I play Tricky all the time.
Really?
We've had this conversation.
Have we?
Ian and I had this conversation in depth, and you probably tuned out.
I don't care. No.
I'm sure our listeners know what I'm talking about.
Wow.
About you tuning out.
I never tune out. I'm always on point. I always pay attention. I just don't remember that there's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
So that's for the Xbox and the PS3. There wasn't, I think that's the only Xbox game or any game that came out for the Xbox. Mm-hmm. Binary domain?
Yes.
PS3 and Xbox.
So you lied.
I did lie. I'm sorry. Binary domain is an original squad-based shooter by Toshihiro Nagoshi.
Oh, him.
That guy.
Yeah. I've actually heard good things about this game.
Yeah, he did the Yakuza series.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That is a series I feel like I would like.
Yes.
Like it's Japanese.
Mafia.
Mafia games. It's, you know, it's Japanese Grand Theft Auto.
Right.
Kind of style game. I should be all over this. Never played any of them.
I know. I didn't either. But I was always intrigued by them.
Yeah.
I wonder if when you do a mission, if you get another tattoo. Like that would be
so
cool if they incorporated the tattooing.
Yes.
That's a 7.5.
I've heard some good things about this.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds interesting.
Yeah.
This is a really weird one. Hyper Dimension Neptuna MK2.
Oh. I know nothing. Yeah.
RPG from NIS.
I know. Oh, it's from NIS. Okay. Yeah. NIS, the company that only puts out games that no one's heard of.
Right. For PS3. Not surprised. Are you surprised?
No.
It looks pretty. It's anime.
Yeah, it's your typical Japanese RPG. I mean, NIS is a good company. I'm not slagging on them. I like their games. But yeah, it's all super niche.
Just very niche RPGs.
It's weird because they're kind of like the budget version of Atlus. Like Atlus will come out again with those super niche games like Persona and some of that stuff, but they're always Atlus is extremely good. NAS is like they're just kind of getting by on the same old stuff. Like there really isn't a whole lot of innovation with a lot of their games. They're just kind of catering to a very specific audience,
right?
And I mean they're well crafted.
They still stay in the business. So.
Yeah, I mean they're well crafted.
Yeah, I mean the graphics look nice. You know, they don't cut corners on that, so.
Yeah.
Meh. Mortal Kombat Complete Edition. Complete is spelled with a K.
Of course.
That's for the PS3 and the Xbox, too.
Yeah. That is, like, the Game of the Year edition, so it's all the DLC, all the extra characters, all that crap.
Yeah, because I was looking, I was like, wait, this came out. Why are we showing this again? Oh, yeah. Never mind.
Because it's Mass Effect.
I know.
Or no, it's Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat. People.
Sorry, I got and certain things on the brain.
I'm surprised Mike hasn't picked it up yet. But he bought Mass Effect and...
Yeah, he bought two other M games, which we'll talk about this week. I think he's working on getting a Mortal Kombat, but I think it's... Since he's already got Mortal Kombat, all this would give him is the DLC. So I don't think that's a...
Yeah, like this would be good if you hadn't bought it yet.
Exactly. You know, since Mike and Ian aren't here, I feel like we should like spread rumors about them.
Even if they're here, I feel like we can spread rumors about them.
Well, but then they defend it and that's just not as fun.
What rumor you want to make up?
Let me think about it.
Okay. You marinate on that. I've got two more games.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. We have a Wii game release.
Oh, great. Just what the world needs.
Poke Park 2. Wonders Beyond. It's a Pokemon.
Oh, Poke Park.
No, it just says Poke Park.
But it's a Pokemon game?
Yeah.
So maybe they abbreviate. Poke? Poke Park?
Oh, yeah, Poke. Shut up. Hey, focus.
I was focusing. I was focusing on how wrong you were.
In the description, it's like, now you can play as Pikachu and Snivy and T-Pig.
And Snivy?
Yeah.
And oh my God, I'm apparently way out of the game. I've never heard of those ones.
I think they were in the second group.
Ugh.
Maybe not. No, I think T-Pig is not.
I am a Pokemon originalist, so.
So you, the only one you recognize is Pikachu?
Up through Mewtwo. If it came out after Mewtwo, I'm not interested.
Oswalott? Oshawott?
I have no idea. That doesn't sound familiar.
Okay. Well, that doesn't make me want to play the game.
No.
Now I can play as this. You can always play as Pikachu. Maybe Pichu. Pichu's cute. Pichu is the new.
He's the little tiny one.
He's cute. And then a DS game, Shin Megami Tensei.
It's another. Speaking of Atlas, actually. Yep.
Devil Survivor 2. 8.5.
Yes, this is the Devil X or the Shin Megami Tensei. That's Persona, but this is the Persona is a subset of the Shin Megami Tensei games. So these tend to be a little more
involved.
They're not involved, but they're not as based around like high school life. This is
more adult.
Yeah, I haven't seen Devil Survivor. But like Devil Summoner was one that was kind of in like the 1920s in Japan, and the main character was a detective.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean the characters look more ominous, I want to say. Like they don't look like your like teeny bop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't look like Squall from Final Fantasy VIII.
Yeah, they've got slightly different styles with the various other Shin Megami games. So
who was the original emo? I'd like to just say.
The what? Oh.
Squall?
Oh, Squall was.
Original emo. Seriously, he's such a fucking bitch in that game.
No, I would say Cloud is definitely.
Oh, Cloud is kind of an emo too. But then it becomes badass. Squall doesn't ever like redeem himself.
No.
Like Aeris dies and then Cloud's like, meh, you know. But then like, you know, Tifa's like, you know, fucking snap out of it, you douchebag. And then he's like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna go save the planet. But Squall's kinda always like, meh, look at my life, it's so hard, and I got the scar on my face because my enemy gave it to me, and now I'm just really depressed.
You know, I was thinking about...
Even though I have a hot chick who wants to bang me.
I was thinking about... She wasn't that hot. I was thinking...
She was cute.
I was thinking about playing 8 again, but now you've summarized the entire story for me in a very complete and comprehensive way. So now I don't need to, so thank you.
Oh, there's some monsters. I'm not even fully... I don't even fully remember who, like... Wasn't it Cypher? Who was like Cypher? Who was like his friend?
Was it Cypher in that game?
Yes. Yes. The guy with the blonde hair.
Yeah. Yeah. I can picture him. I can never remember the name though.
Yeah. And was he like the, I don't remember he was like the last boss battle. I remember like.
No. He was always like the puppet of the actual big bad in that game.
Yeah. But who was the big bad person?
Some chick. I don't remember.
Because Edea.
Sure.
Edea. The chick with like the big. Like the weird hairpiece. Yeah, she looked like a clown almost. She looked kind of like Kefka from 6.
Are you saying that Final Fantasy may be stealing from itself?
Possibly.
Possibly, you think so?
Yes.
I really did not enjoy 8.
I didn't either. I liked 8 for the...
8 had the best game, or the second best game, I should say.
It had the best for playing, like the characters are really cool. It went from, it was just really awesome because it went from polygon to like actual characters that weren't polygon. So like the graphics were always really impressed.
Yeah.
Or impressing. I was
always. Impressive.
Yep.
Is that the word you're looking for?
Yep. But.
God, you don't podcast for a month and you just lose the ability for words.
There's two of us, so now I have to talk for another person.
I suppose.
You know, but I always thought that was very. Edea was always cool. I always liked the bad guys in 8. Like, I didn't necessarily not like them. Like, Sephiroth pissed me off. Seymour from 10 was an asshole. 9? Who's a 9?
I don't remember. I just remember only... I don't remember there being, like, one single bad guy in 9. I could be wrong, though.
Well, in 10, I feel like there's a couple different ones in each game.
Okay, we should just call the show Old People Remembering Final Fantasy. Because we don't remember shit.
It's been so long. Okay, well, 10, it was Sin, right? The big...
It was Sin.
Sin, but it was also Seymour.
Sort of, yes.
Well, you have to fight him like 3 times, yeah, and each time he's harder.
He's like the original, he's like the first big bad, and then you realize there's another big bad.
Right.
Basically, 10 was Mommy Issues the Game, or Daddy Issues the Game. No.
Well, because Jet turns into Sin.
Well, yes, I know. I've played the game.
But I didn't know if you remember, because obviously we can't remember 9.
No, 8 was Mommy Issues. I apologize. Yes. 8 was Mommy Issues. 10 was Daddy Issues.
Nine was almost an homage to the old style, yeah, which I loved nine.
I dug nine. You know,
nine was awesome.
If they want to do a remake, skip eight. Just do nine.
Yeah.
I don't care about eight or seven.
I love.
Don't remake those.
I love the main character, like Zidane.
I don't know. I think it was. Okay. The monkey guy.
Yeah, he has a tail. Like, never explains why.
It just is.
I have a tail. I look like a human. I'm a very pretty boy. He's like the prince of the Final Fantasy VIII games. Like, kind of androgynous, like, very pretty.
Oh, prince like the musical artist?
Yes, there's other princes.
Yeah.
Well, Prince Harry doesn't just go by Prince.
Well, you said he is the prince.
I said no. Oh, yeah, okay. I'm sorry. All right. That was my bad.
Now it's old people arguing about Final Fantasy.
No, but who the fuck was bad in nine?
And neither of us have our tablet.
No. The mages. Remember all the black mages?
Yeah, all the black mages.
Who controlled them?
I don't remember.
Well, remember.
No. You can't make me.
Obviously. Yeah, they should just do nine. Nine was awesome. And then you got like Freya.
And I think nine kind of flew under the radar for a lot of people. Because I think like seven was like the big game. Like, this is like
that was the game.
This is proving that the PlayStation was amazing.
Yes.
Okay. So you had a lot of mainstream people do it. And then I think eight scared everyone off.
Well, because it was mommy issues, and yes, because the story was good if you liked just really overly drawn out.
Yeah, it's just
like soap opera stories. Mm-hmm. So I know a lot of girls who kind of liked it.
Oh, really?
That thing is like
that
their
had a
favorite,
dog, didn't it?
There was a dog. Yeah, there's a dog.
The main chick's got a dog, doesn't she?
She does. But
the only thing, honest to God,
her limit, the dog would come out and punch the bad guy.
That's right. I only remember two things about eight.
Three things.
Three things about eight. I remember the chasing after the girl in the space suit, where you're both in spacesuits,
yep.
and it's just this ungodly long scene.
Oh,
that
God,
takes,
I know.
Like,
you're like, what am I doing? Is this right?
Yeah.
You know,
I remember
like,
that.
I
remember fighting a Tyrannosaurus and draining magic out of
yes!
him.
Yes! That was in the battle arena at like the big school that you always went to.
Yeah.
I think I tried that like five times, and then after like dying, I was like, fuck this, I'm not you. This is a battle arena, I don't have to fight him. It was for like some kind of special limit or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't remember what the hell it was.
Or some special weapon.
But then the entire ballroom dance scene, because I remember actually seeing that ballroom dance scene from 8.
Yeah,
with the song, like that was the first one that had like an actual licensed song.
Yeah, well, it was
or an official song.
It was
a fine song, but I remember seeing that music video. I was like, wow, this is a different level of game making than a lot of people were used to at the time.
Right, totally. And then they just kind of drew it back a little bit for seven or nine.
For nine, yeah.
Like I feel like.
Well, I think the backlash. I think a lot of people didn't like eight.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny.
I played
like,
it.
Like, you think of, because they used to be fairly reactive. Like, you know, 8 got very kind of middling, if I remember right. And so they kind of dialed it back for 9, and it was made a little more old school. And people really dug it, but it sold for shit.
Yeah, but the people who played it, they say it's one of their favorites.
Exactly.
You know.
So then, like, 12 comes out, and people, you know, it got very, again, very middling reviews. And
but 10 did well.
10 did well, but no, I'm going somewhere with this.
Okay.
So 8 comes out, they listen to people, and they kind of correct their mistakes. With from like 12 to 13, it's like they took everything that nobody liked and built the game around that for 13. It's like they did the opposite of what they did from 8 to 9.
But even like people were pissed off about the ending of 13.
I never got that far.
Well, I didn't play it, but I watched the ending. I watched Tim Turry from Game Informer describe the end.
Name drop.
And it's just like him being like, this doesn't make any sense. This is happening, but this has not happened through the entirety of the game.
Yeah.
No one knows what's going on. We're all confused. And we do this for a living, you know? So, but 10 was still, I think what I liked about 10, and it was like a really decent love story.
Blitzball.
Well, Blitzball is great.
Blitzball's awesome.
The best thing about 8, card game.
Yeah, that was the other thing I remember is the card game, because the card game was fantastic.
I told you that I printed out all the card games, and my friend and I actually put like super glued them to actual cards and played the card game on our own.
You know, if you were a dude, you would not have gotten any until well past college.
Well, that was my freshman year in high school, and no guy ever looked at me, so that's probably why.
I find that hard to believe.
No, You shouldn't. You shouldn't at all.
It was
all.
South Dakota. It's not like there's a lot of talent out there.
They're still cheerleaders. But no, it was, yeah, the card game. Yeah, 10 was good, but 11, really? MMO?
Never played 11.
Are you fucking kidding me? You go from a console game to a massive multi-online player? Like, fuck you. Fuck you. Wow. Seriously? No, that pissed me off so much. I'm like, I don't play these games for a reason. I know somebody honestly lost like 2 years of his life to that game.
And that was just one boss battle.
Probably. Like, I'd walk into his room and it would just be mountains of garbage. And he hadn't showered in days. And I'm just like, dude, you should probably like have a life again. Because it just wasn't even like the characters even that you could build in Final Fantasy XI weren't even compelling. Like they were
the bunny children with the straw hats.
No. If they looked like Fran from 12, then maybe we got somewhere. But
I'd rather be a bunny child, honestly.
That's because you have a weird thing about being a hot chick, apparently.
What?
Fran from... She's
yeah, the... I know who Fran is.
Well, then why would you not want to be like her?
I never said I don't want to be like her, but I would prefer to be a bunny child with a straw hat.
But those bunny childs are supposed to be almost like the Mogs.
You're not convincing me that I don't want to be this now.
I know, they're cute.
Yeah, they are. They're adorable, and then they blow you up.
Like the Tonberry. Tonberry's adorable, and then he gets close to you.
Fucking
and then he
shanks you.
He does. He's a gangster.
Tonberry is a gangster.
He's a bald little green gangster.
That's right.
He's Yoda gone bad.
Wow, all right. That is one of my one of the very first memories of Heather kind of just shaking her head at my gaming habit. I was playing, I think it was 10, and it was fighting a Tonberry, and you know they take forever to get to.
Oh, yeah.
They always start way back and then they do this.
Every turn they just come closer.
Yeah, and then they shank you and almost
because
kill
they
you.
Have an infinite amount of HP.
And I was freaking out because I was like, I hadn't saved in hours because I'm a retard.
And you can't run.
You can't run. And I was like, it was like two of the three people were dead. So I just had the one guy and he's just slowly walking up to me. There's nothing I can do. And I'm like, I'm honest to God, like freaking out. And I'm just like, please God, let me just kill this thing. And she's like, what is going on? He's not that threatening. I'm like, just wait for it.
Yeah.
And then he shanked me and I lost hours of progress and I cried.
That's the problem with those games too. The save points were hours in between. So you'd die at a boss battle and go back like 3 hours and you just might be like, I give up. Fuck you. You game.
Shall we go into this week's releases?
I suppose they're probably better than last week's.
Yeah, they can't not be.
Unless they were all Wii games.
Unless they were all Wii games, which I don't see any Wii games on here, actually.
No, there weren't any.
No. All right, yeah, no Wii games, but there is a DS game. Here we go. Something called Crush 3D.
Crush.
Which is, it says, gives you the ability to change from a 3D world to a 2D world with a touch of a button.
Oh, it's for the 3DS then.
Yeah. And this is, I believe, if it's not a port, it's a takeoff on a game that came out for PSP. It was kind of a puzzle platformer where
Oh, really?
It was all about kind of tilting the world and you either crushing it to 2D or bringing it to 3D, and that lets you move through the path. I don't remember the name of that game, but
what Mario was that you could do that? Was that Paper Mario?
Paper Mario was like that too.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah. I only played the first one.
But yeah, because I only played the second one. I didn't play the first one.
Mm-hmm. So let's see what else we got here. The Sims, they just released yet another goddamn expansion to The Sims.
Why?
I don't know. The big announcement this week, GDC is going on this week.
Yes.
Which is partly why there's not a ton of news, because GDC is much more about discussion than reveals.
Right, and I feel like next week we'll probably have a lot more news about just what transpired in GDC?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's still going on as we record this. I mean, honestly, God, the biggest news out of GDC, I don't even think it was related to GDC, was the announcement of the iPad 3.
Right. And it's mostly people playing games. I know my friend Rachel is there right now.
Yeah.
Okay, can I just tell you this? This has happened.
No, you can't tell me.
Please?
No. No, yeah, fine.
Okay. So this Rachel Moore, she's one of my friends, one of my cosplay friends. She is a video game writer and does like video game blogs and stuff like that. And she was in line to play one of the games at GDC. And she's like, I've been in line for like half an hour. And the person that just in front of her just got done playing. So she was next. And the developer grabs the control and hands it to the guy behind her.
Wow. Who was the guy behind her?
Just some guy. Just somebody coming to the show. You know, it's like San Diego Comic-Con. You just line up to demo a game for like 5-10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, she put this on her Facebook, and then she just put sad face. I'm like, sad face, motherfucker. I would have done a lot more than sad face.
What was the explanation or what?
She just said, she was like, I was next. And he's like, yeah.
Hmm.
So that was.
Not that I'm calling your friend a liar, but I think there's more going on.
Oh, I'm sure there's more going on. She didn't go in depth. But still, like, that's. Maybe she was in the, you know, maybe she was to the side of the line.
Maybe she was in the boys only line.
But can I tell you this, though? Like, usually at even San Diego Comic-Con, when you're in line, there's not many girls around. So a lot of the times they think you're just watching, that you don't actually want to play.
Oh, really?
Because I've had to tell many people I'm next. Because, like, I've had a guy come up when I was playing Dead Island and I was next. And he went and I was like, I'm next. I'm in line. I've been in line for like half an hour. And he's like, oh, I thought you were just watching. I was like, no. 40% of women play video games out of the whole demographic. Like, 3 out of 5, fuck you. Like, I'm going to play.
You're just shouting numbers at them.
I should have. I should have been like, you don't know the demographic. I hate you. But yeah, so that's really more common than you think it would be. It's just annoying since, you know, percentage of gamers, we're not half, but we're pretty damn close to getting half now. I just thought that was interesting. That's my only GD story so far.
This is a. One of those times when one of my absolute favorite Simpsons lines ever
was
it was all the kids complaining about how no one ever listens to them. And then Homer walked. It's like, you know, I'm a kid and no one ever listens to me. And then his grandpa is like, I'm an old man. No one listens to me. And Homer walks in and goes, I'm a white male, age 18 to 45. Everybody listens to me.
So true.
It is true.
So true.
And I'm in that demographic as well.
Fuck you.
I know. So, I actually put my shit down because I thought that story was going to be longer. So,
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
It wasn't that long.
But yeah, they did do the big reveal of SimCity, which I was hoping Mike would be here because I know he's a much bigger SimCity fan than I am.
Yeah, I don't know if has he played it recently?
I know he's played 2000 recently because I think I saw him buy it on Steam, but I could be wrong there. But we had a bunch of PS3 games. MotorStorm RC just came out. That was the one of the big racing games.
Yeah.
A lot of people dig that one. Top Gun Hard Lock.
That sounds horrible.
It does.
That just doesn't. You don't even have to read that next
time. Is Top Gun really a brand at this point anymore? Like, is that really a name that sells?
I don't know. It's kind of that, you know, I tell people that I haven't seen it in its entirety, and people
are
like,
you're missing a ton.
I know. Everybody's like, what? And I go, what? But it's the only reason I'd watch it is for Val Kilmer anyway. It's just being a douchebag. I don't even care about Tom Cruise or the other guy that was on ER.
Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, fuck that guy. He was a dick on ER.
He had cancer
on ER.
He wasn't the dick on that show.
Was George Clooney the dick?
Well, yeah, he's kind of a dick anyway. But I thought, no, he was the nice guy. He was the one that got like brain cancer or something.
Everybody on ER was an asshole.
There is that, I guess. Moving on, more PS3 games. Blades of Time.
Blades of Time.
Yeah, another.
Is that a Blade game, like the vampire?
No.
Oh.
No, this is, it looks like another kind of Japanese third-person action game trying to
stick out from the rest.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't really look that interesting, I guess. Unit 13 is a third-person military shooter from Zipper. And Zipper is a company I know I like, but I don't remember why.
Oh, as long as you remember that you like them.
Yeah. It's got a 7 right now, it's actually a Vita game. I apologize. So, and is this? No, this is a PS3 game. Okay, yeah. Yeah, Unit 13 is a Vita game. So,
isn't it PS3 and Vita? Is it both?
It doesn't say. It just says Vita. So there might be another one on there, but who knows? I don't think anyone's really going to buy it. Major League, they had two big Major League Baseball games come out this week. One is, of course, Major League Baseball 2K12. That's for every system.
Every system.
Everything. Also for PS3, Street Fighter X Tekken.
I know, I kind of want that.
Do you?
Well, I love Tekken. And I don't love Street Fighter, so I can just be all the Tekken people and beat up on the Street Fighter people.
I like Tekken because it has the crazier characters. Like, it's got the kangaroo, it's got the wooden
boy. The wooden guy, the panda, and or bear, Kuma. I mean, you know.
He's a bear.
But his other colorway is a panda.
Well, he's, I think, is...
Panda bear. I mean, it's still a bear.
Now,
let's be honest.
I hesitate to ask this because...
I don't know why.
Ian would freak out if I asked this in his presence. And,
well, he's not here.
I know.
Let's take advantage of it.
Let's do it. Is panda, like, okay, so Kuma, his base level is a bear, just a regular, like, brown bear, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So the fact that his other skin is a panda bear, is that, like, the Bear Kingdom equivalent of blackface? Like, are pandas offended by that?
I don't know. I haven't talked to a panda.
We need to get a panda on the show.
Let's get Ling Ling on the show.
This is a civil rights question that I need an answer to.
The San Diego Zoo's got a panda named Ling Ling. We can get that panda on here. But I...
Well, you can ask him at Comic-Con, because you're going to Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's your mission at Comic-Con. I don't care if you do nothing else.
Go try to speak to a panda.
Interview Ling Ling about this pressing issue.
I don't know. I don't know if it would be, because I would think it'd be more like a Joker face. Because the whole face is... I mean, it's white and black.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying it's one variety a bear pretending to be another variety of bear, and a minority type of bear as well.
Well, but what if you did? I think blackface would be more like if a brown bear painted his face to be a black bear.
Well, that's more literal. I'm just...
Well, yes, but that's why I went there.
I'm thinking macro ideas here.
Okay, so I see what you're saying, but I think I don't know.
I've just blown your mind. Just admit it.
Well, panda is totally the minority, but black people are not necessarily the minority around the world.
Well, yes, but now you're just arguing semantics.
Okay, except that you're bringing a panda from China, because there's no pandas that actually exist over here, which is... Wait, is Tekken a game that we make over here? Or is that a Japanese game?
It's a Japanese game.
Fuck. Okay, but there's not pandas in Japan.
I'm sure there's a few.
No. They are native to China.
They swim.
Oh, pandas swim? They're not polar bears. That's a polar bear.
All bears swim.
Well, sure, but they don't swim across oceans.
We're getting off topic here. So, yeah, Street Fighter X Tekken has come out. What is that getting right now? It's getting an 8.5, which is pretty strong for a Street Fighter game.
For a Tekken fighting game.
Yeah, just a fighting game in general. Yeah. That's pretty strong.
Okay, can I ask you this?
No.
I'm going to ask you anyways. Do you think that fighting games need stories? Like, do you think they're necessary for a good fighting game?
I think we had this debate when Mortal Kombat came out, because that was one thing that Mike really liked about the Mortal Kombat, was that he liked the storyline and he liked the progression from game to game to game. I think...
He's probably the only one that has a progressive storyline, because Tekken and Street Fighter don't make any goddamn sense.
Street Fighter has a storyline, but it's not really vital.
So does Tekken, quote-unquote, story. Yeah, they all have a story, but it's not really a story. It's just like, oh, haha, Nick Cage, I come from over here, and I have to fight you now because
Nick
you
Cage.
Killed... What? Nick, oh, goddamn, that's Marvel. What's his name? What's the one that Jean-Claude Van Damme played?
Guile?
Guile, that guy. Okay, so so Guile comes over, and, oh, I have to fight this guy because you killed my father, and that's it. Fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's the story.
They can. They absolutely can have a story, but...
Doesn't...
You basically were asking is, should a kung fu movie have a story?
No.
In my mind, the best kung fu movies have the most balls out weird stories.
Sure,
possible.
I feel... Okay, but kung fu... But movies are different than video games in that you don't just... For a kung fu movie, if it was just all fighting, that'd be kind of boring. Like, you have to have some reason why...
You haven't
why
seen some of the kung fu movies I've seen.
Which kung fu movies?
You gotta go like the really bargain basement.
Are they really good movies though?
They're enjoyable. Which I think is the only real metric for a kung fu movie.
No, like Kung Fu Hustle is a great
that was enjoyable.
Movie. No, that's not an enjoyable. That's a great movie. Comedy, good action, and a good story. It's a funny story.
It's an okay story.
Okay, it's pretty amazing for a kung fu movie.
Well, that is true.
And no, Shaolin Soccer, same thing.
Shaolin Soccer was entertaining. Yes.
Okay, so I think for fighting games, though, because you're playing as the characters and all you do is fight, like you're not going through this whole story to then learn, oh, I have to fight this person. You're just fighting people. You don't care. You just want to win.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if the, I don't know if a story is necessary. Like if you're gonna,
I don't think so. I mean,
yeah, I don't think it is. I don't think it's necessary. If you wanted to do more, if you wanted to have it more, just not like people fighting against each other, you wanted to make like the single player really interesting, then you could have a decent story. But they, none of them do. Then you just fight.
There was a Neo Geo game that is called The Art of Fighting. That I really liked, and it had like an actual like story, and it was the single player mode. You could only pick one of two characters, and they were both and they were after this woman gets kidnapped, and the woman is one of the guy's sister and the other guy's wife. Okay, so you can pick either the brother or the husband, and it's you going through this town trying to find, basically you beating up the various gang bosses to get, to find out where the gang lord took the woman.
Right.
And that, I enjoyed that because there was kind of a story, but I think for a story, for a fighting game, you almost have to base it around one character. Like with Mortal Kombat, they always have all those little stories.
Right.
Like each character's got their own kind of path.
I know.
And that can be okay, but they're never that good.
That's what I mean. Like it's too hard to have, like, unless you can just be one player for the single player. And then you can be any player if you want to do multiplayer.
Yeah.
You know, then like make the story interesting and worthwhile instead of everybody's going to have a story and they all have to intertwine at some point. It's like, no, who cares? Why would a tree want to fight a human being? You know, like for Tekken, they don't make sense. And then
it's
you
like
have
the Lorax gone bad there.
Yeah.
Just saying.
What is? That'd be funny if he was actually voiced by Danny DeVito in the game.
Well, I just had a thought. Why, you know, we've had Marvel versus Capcom. I would play a Dr. Seuss versus Capcom. If I could have like the Lorax and a star-bellied Sneech versus Iron Man, I would.
The Grinch?
I would play that.
Yeah.
Grinch would be awesome.
Grinch would be awesome. You could do like the one, you could have the one fish, two fish, three fish, four fish, and then just have them all in one team.
That would be like one of the special moves where you throw all the fish at them.
Yeah, that's a good idea too.
Yeah.
Green eggs and ham.
Green eggs and ham.
So Sam, so you have Sam, and then he could throw green eggs and ham.
There you go. I think we got something here.
We got to put that in the vault.
I think we do.
I'm pretty sure Mike and Ian would think that's a retarded idea.
Well, they're not here, so what do we care?
They're retarded.
The other baseball game, because that's what we were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
The other baseball game that came out this week is MLB The Show, which came out on most systems. I know Mike picked this up as well.
Is that supposed to be the better one?
I know Mike likes it more. I don't know if it's supposed to be the better one or not. But Mike will talk about that next week, I know, because I talked to him a little bit today. So he'll have lots to say about that particular game. Also coming out this week on Xbox Live, actually, I Am Alive. This is a new survival game, another Ubisoft game, and it's I don't think it's a zombie game. I think it's like a post-apocalyptic.
Oh, so you're kind of fighting like other people to survive.
Yeah, that was kind of the impression I got. I have not picked this up yet. I've heard good things though, and GameStop gave it an 8. I don't know what the Metacritic is, but I like Ubisoft. It's weird. Like,
yeah, they're good at games. That's like, what they do.
Mm-hmm. They're one of those studios that just they always do. They seem to be more apt to doing interesting things.
Yeah, they seem like they try to push the boundary a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Ubisoft, did you see any of the Assassin's Creed 3 stuff?
No, because I don't play Assassin's Creed.
Well, still, you could have seen it.
On what, though? Oh, I guess, okay, I've seen the Game Informer covers.
Yes.
They're pretty.
Yes.
They're very pretty.
I would just like to point out, I called that
Game Informer and told them to do that?
No, I correctly predicted, that's what I mean by called, I correctly predicted that it would be, that if they did the American Revolution, like, that was one of the rumors for a long time.
Yes,
that they'll be doing a lot of tree-based jumping, because there's not a lot of buildings in that era.
Well, because no one had really settled for any length of time.
Exactly. And from seeing some of the videos, the creative director basically said that was the one thing he wanted, was that, the quote was, I think, from the video, from actually Game Informer interviewed him, and he said, it was always frustrating that I'm in this game where it's all about climbing, and the one thing I can't climb is a tree.
Right. So he's like, fuck it, this next game, trees.
It's just nothing but trees. So I'm
that's gonna be cool.
I'm really looking forward to it. And it's coming, I think, late this year. I want to say that sounds right.
Yeah, if the cover is Game Informer right now, it's probably like 6 months out.
Yeah.
Do they know the main character's name?
They have not revealed that yet.
No.
No, they've really shown at this point is just that trailer.
That'll probably be at E3 or something.
Yeah, E3 will be a big one for AC3.
AC3.
Yeah. I Am Alive, again, out this week. And I think, I know Mike's trying to get a code for that for us.
It sounds interesting.
Yeah. It's one of those where I'm kind of following. I always confused this and The Last of Us, which is the other post-apocalyptic game with the goofy name.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that came out quick. I'm like, oh, no, it's the other one. That they've been working on for a while. So, but the big release this week, of course, is Mass Effect 3. And it is, it was a major, major release that a lot of people are going kind of nuts for.
Is that why you worked from home today?
Not exactly, no.
No?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's true. I had stuff I had to do today that I could not get done at work.
Like play Mass Effect?
No. Damn it.
Aha.
No, that was not the reason why I stayed home. Honest to God, it was more the, I'm wrapping up some projects, so it's like I just want to chill a little bit.
Right. Being in an office all day, even though they say that you working from home isn't that productive, it's really good to break up the monotony at work.
Yes.
And just the distractions at work.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, there was a bunch of stuff I had to get done at home today. But I did get some Mass Effect in this morning.
Yes. Yep.
And I have a beef, by the way, with Xbox.com.
Why?
Well, my coworkers. They put together two and two that, he decided to work from home on the day after Mass Effect 3 comes out. Mm-hmm. So, like, let's see if he's playing right now. And they go on Xbox and they see achievements. Mm-hmm. For this game, and they say achievements released achievement unlocked on 3/7/2012.
But what if you got it at midnight and just played all night long?
Yeah, I played it in the morning before I started work.
Well, sure.
But they don't know that. All they see is that he did this during the day, so I'm gonna get shit when I get to work tomorrow.
I should be like, fuck you, pay me. But I have a different relationship than my job.
That you do. So. I really don't think they're going to care too much, but I was like, honest to God, I wasn't doing it.
You like, ask me,
keys. Working on these stupid reports all day.
I mean, you got your work done, so what do they care?
No, they're just doing it to make fun of me, so
yeah.
That's fine.
So tell us about...
So Mass Effect, okay.
I've not played any of them, so I will try to be as thoughtful as possible when it comes to my questions.
That's fine.
Firstly, what is Mass Effect? No, I'm just kidding.
What is this game?
What is this game you speak of? And why?
It's got Seth Green in it, so you should be all over it. As a cripple, and you love cripples.
I do.
Oh.
They're good people.
Yeah, they are. So this game, it is... now, the first game was very much a third-person RPG, kind of an action RPG. The second game was... They definitely ramped up the shooter elements of it. So and that kind of cheesed some people off, and it also brought some people in. I know Mike likes the second one more than he likes the first one.
Sure.
Because it's a little more shootery than the first one is. And this is basically the happy medium. You know, we talked a lot in the Final Fantasy stuff where they listened to the fans and adjusted the next game to it.
Mm-hmm.
This seems like they've done exactly the same thing where... They took the first one, they listened to the fans to make the second one, but then that had its own kind of blowback. So then this is kind of that happy medium where it still has a lot of those third person shooter elements. It's kind of like a Gears of War, like cover based, where you're snapping from cover to cover and, mm-hmm. and doing that. And they still have that elements and they still do, you know, the actual shooter elements,
mm-hmm.
but they brought back some of the more RPG-ish elements. There is this kind of meta game going on where you are rallying different groups of to this universe-spanning war,
mm-hmm.
and kind of playing factions off one another.
Yeah, it's lots of species, and there's a war. That's what I gathered from much of the talk of
Yes.
Mass Effect.
Yes.
There's a war. Well, there's a war in pretty much every game, unless it's like a puzzle game.
And even then, some of those, they're war-based.
Well, that's just war-based because you can't win.
Yeah.
So you wage war on the puzzle game.
Yeah. Never thought of it that way, but all right. So, I mean, I'm only a couple hours into it, but it seems that they took a lot of the things that worked in two,
mm-hmm.
You know, the somewhat simplified inventory system and the, you know, the interruption mechanic where when you're talking, you can pull a trigger to interrupt the conversation and get you, you know, morality points,
mm-hmm.
either Paragon or Renegade. And they kept that, and that's fun. And then they also added some more. They simplified the exploration. Like, you're not sitting there scanning planets anymore.
Oh, that's nice.
It was really boring. They simplified that. You're still doing that. The way they have it is when you're flying around inside the system,
mm-hmm.
you can basically send like a scanner pulse, and if anything interesting is in the area,
it tells you.
It lights up.
Oh, that's...
And then you can just go over there and click it, and then you get whatever it is.
Shiny.
Now, the risk reward is, you know, because the Reapers, the bad guys, are taking over systems.
Reapers?
Yes.
Close to Reavers?
In spelling, yes, but in concept, no, not at all.
Oh.
Sorry.
I'm disappointed.
I know. When you do that stuff in Reaper-owned systems... If you do that enough, you basically call attention to yourself, and if you do it enough, they start looking for you, and if they find you, you die. So you have to.
So don't overuse it.
Don't overuse it in those systems.
What are Reapers? Just a quick explanation.
Quick explanation. They are basically the basic story goes is that every 50,000 years, this race of super intelligent machines called the Reapers. Basically cleanse the universe of organic life.
So it's like Skynet.
Somewhat, yeah.
Okay.
It's like Skynet mixed with aliens.
Okay.
So.
That's all I need.
So in this one, they finally reached the Milky Way. They're finally, you know, because they're way, way the fuck out there. And they've been getting, for the last two games, they've been just slowly getting there. Like
to our galaxy?
Yes. So okay. They finally arrived, and the first scene in this and the demo is the attack on Earth. So it's like they're here, and they're kicking shit up.
God damn it.
I know. If anything, the story kind of progresses a lot like the first Dragon Age game, where there's this horrible thing going on, so we have to rally together all of these different nations.
Okay.
So, whereas in Dragon Age, you're like going to the dwarves and going to the elves and saying, hey, there's this bad thing happening, you know, get over your shit and help us.
Right.
That's basically what you're doing in this, is you're going to all of the races and saying, we need to put aside all our differences and kind of band together to fight this off. And meanwhile, you're also recruiting, you know, all of these lesser species and all of these mercenary groups and things like that. So you're building this kind of grand alliance.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that is tracked on this, what they call the Galaxy at War thing. And that's kind of the big new feature in this, is that you've got all of these areas that have like a strength, like a readiness. So by doing missions for the various factions, you actually help the universe go, you know, raise up in its readiness, and then that will help them defend themselves against the Reapers.
Hmm.
So in a lot of ways, it's kind of like actually Assassin's Creed, where they added that in Brotherhood and Revelations, where you're sending people off on missions all throughout Europe. This is kind of the same thing, where you're doing stuff that raises your strength in that area and helps defend it from the bad guys.
Hmm.
So that's kind of the big new mechanic, and the whole time you're recruiting stuff and you're finding, you know, resources, you're finding like experimental weapons and shit like that. So
right.
Haven't gotten too much into that yet. So, and okay. It hasn't really come into play yet, but I'm curious how that's going to work. And that was one of the things that with the multiplayer, which I can talk a little bit about because I played in the demo, the multiplayer will let you affect the Galaxy at War stuff. So the stuff you do in multiplayer will actually affect your single player.
Oh, that's weird.
Well, it's actually kind of interesting because what they've said is you can play through the single player and get the best ending. Like, you don't have to do multiplayer.
Right.
But if you're more of a multiplayer guy, you can do that and then just have to do less in the single player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have to go on all the silly little side missions. You don't have to do all, make all the right steps in terms of the conversations and things like that.
Right.
So it's kind of cool, I would say.
Mm, that's really interesting. That's a very cool way to do it.
Yeah, and
it gives people more options.
Well, and they're also going to be integrating. They've got, I know, 2 iPhone games going that lets you affect the Galaxy at War stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprising if there's a Facebook game of some sort. So that's really kind of the hub by which all of the Mass Effect stuff kind of orbits around.
Right.
So yeah, I mean the combat itself is very much Mass Effect 2. They simplified some of the squad commands and they made a big deal of the Kinect stuff where you can actually order your squad mates around.
Oh, cool.
I don't have a Kinect, so I have not tried that, but I know Mike does.
Yeah,
so
lots I'll of...
probably talk about that next week.
Mm-hmm. Now, don't you have sex in that game?
You can, and that's it. So let me tell you something about my character for a second here.
This might be awkward.
It might be.
Okay.
So in the first game, I had relations with this character named Liara.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the hot blue chick.
Yes.
Who was not a playable character in the second game. She was a side character.
Right.
So she was not a sexy times option in that game. So rather than be faithful to her, because I am Shepard the space whore.
You're good-looking man.
Oh, I'm female. I'm playing it. Playing
oh, you're
female.
A female shepherd.
I'm a female shepherd.
I didn't know you could do that.
Yes, you can.
Hmm. You could do that from the very first one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh. I've kept the same character. In fact, I had a minor panic attack because I had, when I was importing my character into the third game, I'd forgotten that I moved that character onto a USB drive. So when I just sent it to search, it's like, you can't find, there's no character to be found. And I'm like, oh my God, I've kept this character for like 5 years.
I can see, I wish I would have seen your face when that transpired.
Oh, I was so angry. but then I'm like, oh, I put it on the thumbstick. So,
go me.
Yes. But anyway, so dating Liara.
Okay, so you were female shepherd.
Female
and
shepherd.
You were dating the blue chick.
The blue chick.
Okay.
Okay. She's not in that game. She's not in the second game. So I had to find another sexy time.
Did you find a man?
I did.
Yay.
Only because my preferred choice, which was Tali, who is the hot Russian chick in the spacesuit, who I've wanted to go after since the first game, but that wasn't an option. She wasn't she doesn't swing toward the girls, so I did not have that option.
Okay.
With her. So I went with this guy named Garrus, who is another alien. So I have not I was gonna say I've not slept with a human, but I did in the second one too, because you can also choose to sleep with your communications officer, who's kind of a whore.
What are these sex scenes? Just go into a room and it's like, this happened. Bomb, chicka, bomb.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it's much more the in the first game there it was an actual, I don't want to say a full sex scene, but there was nudity. You know, there was, yeah, it was all right. In the second one. And it might just because of who I picked, but it was all the events leading up to that, and then it just like fades to black.
Ah.
So you don't really see sexy times with Garrus, which I'm not really that upset about.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I have a thing against seeing dudes, it's just more just he's not a good looking man.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So anyway, so now we get into this lovely situation.
She's back.
They're both back.
Oh, snap.
So I've got...
You just created a whole bunch of drama.
I know, and I've made it worse because...
You slept with the communications
officer. Well, I haven't slept with anyone yet.
No, but you did in the last game.
I did that too, and I did find her because she has left the ship by this point, the communications officer, Kelly. And I did run into her at some point, and it was also kind of awkward there. But so one of the things that happens, you know, so you talk to Liara, and she's like... She basically says, are we still good to go, basically? And
after 5 years?
And I'm like, yes, absolutely. Because, you know, in my mind, you know, she kind of held the torch. Because in the second game, Liara left her. So it's basically, so it wasn't her fault.
Okay.
To be fair, in the beginning of the second one, Shepard dies. So there's a good reason for them to leave. But regardless. So,
wait, how is there another Shepard? Is it a different Shepard? Continue.
It takes too long to explain.
Okay, continue.
So Liara, I tell Liara, yes, let's get back together. not realizing that Garrus was going to be on the party later. So, of course, being the galactic cocktease that I am, I also tell Garrus that, hey, we're still together as well. So I'm waiting for that to come to a head. Meanwhile, I've been...
sleeping around.
I haven't been sleeping around yet.
But you plan on it.
Well, there's one of the new characters in this game is actually voiced by Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah.
And I forget his name now. My God, it's James. I know it's James. I can't remember his last name. I've been kind of making the sexy eyes at him as well.
You're a whore.
I am a whore. I am a complete and total whore.
Are you making up for all the sex you didn't have in your life?
Wow. that's mean. That's just
that's okay, because I would be the same way playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I've had more than you have, so.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
You're a terrible person.
No. Just funny.
Yeah. So I'm waiting for that to kind of blow up in my face.
Oh, and you'll have to tell me the details.
Oh, I will.
I do want to know.
I will.
Because this is the only thing that I care about from Mass Effect.
So, I mean, I'm enjoying it so far. It looks like, I mean, if I, you know, gun to my head, I think it's closer to 2.
Mm-hmm.
But they've refined some of the things.
Fixed the things that people
They've fixed some things, and they've added enough kind of RPG-ish elements that I think will satisfy a lot of people.
That's good.
And they didn't overcomplicate the inventory, because that was the biggest complaint with the first one for a lot of people, was that it was overcomplicated for what you got. You can like get into the point where you're customizing individual pieces of armor, but you don't have to. Like you wouldn't feel that you are really handicapping yourself by not doing that if you don't want to.
Okay. And then is this supposed to be the last game?
This is the last game with Shepard. They've said for sure. They said that this ends the story, and I have a feeling based on what I've already seen in the game, I think I can figure out how it's going to end and B, why it's going to be the last game.
Okay.
And
don't spoil it.
I don't want to spoil it, but this is my theory now. I'm not basing this on anything that I any advanced knowledge, and I'm only a few hours into the game, so I'm not really spoiling anything.
Okay.
But my guess is, if you have seen Fifth Element, you know how this is going to end.
Oh, I love Fifth Element.
I know, I do too. But I'm just saying that's my theory right now.
But is Gary Oldman in it? Because that would be awesome.
That would be awesome, and it wouldn't surprise me if he's in it, because it does have a ton of people.
Yeah,
in it.
And he does. He's in some voice acting, hasn't he?
Yeah, he does. His big one is Call of Duty.
Yes.
Yeah, he does. He does one of the Russian guys in Call of Duty. But
I was really rooting for him for that Oscar.
For Call of Duty?
No, for the spy movie that he was.
Oh, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that's good.
I know. I've heard it's well. It's nominated for a bunch of shit, but all dramatic movies are.
So I mean, really not like
a bad ending. I mean, it doesn't end. You know. It's not like Gears where like it kind of ends and it kind of ends.
And again, this is my theory. I have nothing to base this on. Like I said, I'm only a couple hours in.
But a theory that is a decent ending.
If that's how they want to end it, I would be fine with that. I would be satisfied with that. So
cool.
But yeah, and I did get the collector's edition.
Yes.
Because that's the way I roll.
Yep.
And you in the collector's edition, you get the 4x6 print. It's a fucking postcard. Just call it a postcard.
Yeah, 4x6 is a postcard.
Yeah. And the print is fine. You get a patch.
Cool.
Which I will put on my jean jacket first thing. You also get... the biggest thing you get with the collector's edition is you get the DLC for free.
Right.
The day one DLC, the From Ashes, which a lot of people hated that you had to buy the collector's edition to get that for free.
But that's what they do now. Because what else... I think that's a more compelling way to get or to sell a collector's edition to get that free.
Mm-hmm.
Other than just like a bunch of random crap.
Well, the argument is, and I don't think it's a terrible argument. The argument is that since this DLC, the big thing for it is that it involves a character that basically, if you know the story at all, he should not exist. And it's a fairly big deal that this character exists. And the fact that they would make that so that only collector's edition have this angle to the story or you're basically forcing people to pay for this particular wrinkle in the story that seems to upset some people.
I guess I can see that.
And I can see that, but I was thinking about this. And this is kind of backed up by the creators Mass Effect. There isn't one canonical story to Mass Effect. This isn't the story, like there isn't one set of circumstances that is the story of Mass Effect. I mean, because there's all of these different changes over the, especially over when you look at the entire three game series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the first game you had, do I kill off this entire race or not? You know, that's a big deal. You know,
that's a big decision.
You know, do I let this group survive and this group die? You know, there's all of these different decisions, and none of those are the true way it played out.
Right.
You know, because some people, they let the council die. Some, they save them.
Right.
You know, and those are big story points. And they've always said that there is no one story. It's just your story.
Right.
And that's kind of why I haven't replayed Mass Effect, because I feel like I'm watching a movie. And if I play another character, it's a different movie.
Right.
So I guess in my mind, it's not that big of a deal, because if you don't get that DLC, that stuff just never happened. It's not like it was restricted from you. It wasn't like it was a part of story that was left out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is technically, but as far as the story is concerned, you can have a fully functional story without this. This just adds an additional thing.
Right.
You know, if you think about it, I think of it like a deleted scene. Like there are movies out there where one deleted scene will vastly change the implications of other plot points.
Sure. Yeah.
And so if you see the theatrical cut, are you getting less of a movie than you are if you look at their director's cut?
Right. When most of the time you don't even know what you're missing. So it's not like,
there's that too.
You know, that's interesting.
But I did do the DLC, and I did already do that mission that you get and got that character. And it is cool. I mean, I will say that it's a worthy addition to that, to the story, and I'm curious where they're going to take it. But I wouldn't say you absolutely need it or anything.
Right.
So, yes, I'm sure we'll be talking about this more in the next couple weeks. And I know Mike's going to talk about it next week as well. Get his perspective on it, but it's definitely,
I'm glad
worth...
I won't be here for that. Not that I don't like Mass Effect. I just haven't played it. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to,
I'd be very curious to see how they handle players that have not played the first two games. Because there's so many assumed plot points in this that I'm just curious how they're going to address some of these story points.
Yeah, where I played like the third Uncharted, I didn't play any other ones. I mean, I watched Cole play the other ones, so I kind of knew what was going on. But it wasn't like, oh, you have to know that Drake did this and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
So, and then the last point, and actually I had a listener ask me about this. Because in the demo, you had three options of how you wanted to play the single player game. You had I think it was just like, I forget how they phrased it, but there was like one version that turned all of the conversations into cutscenes where you don't pick how the conversation goes. And then it's all the combat. And then there's another version that's just called story mode, where it makes the combat simpler so that you can get to the story points.
Yeah.
And then there's RPG mode, which is basically the original game. It's everything.
Mm-hmm.
And in the demo, when you start a new game, you have to pick that. And somebody asked me about that, and I didn't get a chance to pick that when I started a new game in the main game.
Huh.
I don't know if that's a setting that you put in an options menu somewhere, but I was not asked that when I started a game. And it might be also because I imported a character.
Maybe.
So I didn't have a choice.
Maybe.
I did not have a choice. So I don't know about that. So there you are, listener. That is my answer.
There you go. That's all you get.
Yeah. Buy the damn game.
Play the game. Play it. I've played Harry Potter years 5 through 7 Lego.
Equally a huge release.
Yes. Huge in my world. So I played Harry Potter years 1 through 4 on the DS.
Before we get into this, I got a real quick question for you, because you've played most of the Lego games.
Yes.
Some of our listeners know I've started a new show on the network called The Voice Behind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about voice actors.
Right.
And I've been doing research on people I want to get on and things like that. And there's this woman who's done a ton of games. Her name is Gray Delisle. She's done she's been working for years. Okay. Mm-hmm. And she's credited as doing the voice of Harley Quinn in Lego Batman. I didn't think the Lego games had dialogue.
Well, that was actually one of my points of this game is they don't have dialogue, but what they do have is, you know, they have like exclamations or reactions that, I mean, you wouldn't really want like a computer to be like, you know, it sounds better as a human, but I don't know if I mean, that would be something, like, if you get her on, that'd be really interesting to talk to her about.
Yeah, I'm trying to get her on anyway.
Yeah, because there's no talking in Legos and in the Lego games, and I guess that...
There's no talking in Legos.
There's no talking in Legos. I guess the reason why I like Lego games, because I know, you know, our former show host, Courtney, was not a fan of Lego games. I don't know if Mike or Ian really are either. I think Ian actually likes them.
I think Ian likes them. I don't remember Mike. Neither of them are here, so who gives a shit?
Okay, but... So Lego games, what I like about them is they convey a story, even though if you watch the movies, because they're mostly all based on movies, you know the story, but just by using like little mannerisms and a little bit of reactions, you know, that people have, mm-hmm. they tell a long story, and they also tell, like, there's humor in it, and they really make it work, where you could just have a Lego game be pretty, you know, static and just do the exact story, but they don't. They add a lot of humor to it, and it's, you know, it's cute and funny. Like, Cole and I laugh during the games, which I didn't ever think of Legos as being funny, but...
You're just playing Legos wrong.
Maybe that's it. Maybe I just played Legos wrong. But, you know, it's a Lego game, so it's, you know, if you played any other ones, it's pretty similar. So if you like Lego games, you'll probably like this one. I like this Lego game because I find with a lot of Lego games, and I don't know if you found this, that sometimes you get stuck and you don't know where the fuck you're supposed to go.
Yes.
Or what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
This one, we started off that way, and then we realized that there are ghost coins, because in the Harry Potter world, in Hogwarts, there are ghosts. And there's like ghost coins that are these clear blue coins, and they're not really... You don't collect them, you know, they're not like the other coins, but they show a path of where you're supposed to go. Okay. And there's an arrow to like help you show you where you're supposed to go. I mean, there's still things like in a room, if you're supposed to like get that birdcage down, it doesn't point like to that, but it helps you kind of navigate the area, because sometimes you'll go outside of Hogwarts and there's three different paths, you know, so instead of, because I find with Lego games, you have even less patience because it is a Lego game. So if you can't figure out, you're like, why can't I figure this out?
You just get angry because it's a kid's game. Yeah. And you're like, I should be destroying this, and I'm not.
Right. I just want to destroy things. And that's because you can play this as a two-player game. So Cole and I are playing it together.
Yeah, most of the Lego games, I think you can do co-op.
You can. Yep. And but so Cole doesn't have a lot of patience for it, but he's just playing it with me. And so if he can't figure it out after a while, he's like, okay, this is stupid. I'm just going to break a bunch of shrubs. And I'm like, fine, go collect coins. I don't care. So that's kind of nice, because I didn't see that when we played the Pirates. They didn't have anything like that. Like a
Not
path.
That I remember, no.
No. I played the 1-4 on the DS, and I would say it's probably more fun on the DS for the Lego Potter, because for a spell, like if you had to do like a fire spell, you'd have to trace a fire flame. Or to do like a Expelliarmus, you had to do like a triangle or something like that. Like you had to do the motion. But for the Xbox game, you just have to go into your menu and click through it and find it. So it's not as... The usability isn't as fun. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of more of a hassle.
The experience.
And just, you know, like, clicking and trying to find it is not super fun. Like, it kind of takes away from the whole spell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're like, it'd be more fun if it came on to the screen and you had to trace it with one of your analog sticks.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't do that. You just have all these options. Pick the right one. And Cole's like, I don't know what these mean. I don't know which these ones are, because he didn't play Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a little not great. But, I mean, if you like Harry Potter, you're going to like these games, because then each character has their own, like, little animal.
Mm-hmm.
So, Hermione has a cat. And so, like, there's certain...
Is that her Patronus? Is that
how, no, her is Patronus...
Is that how those those gang names work?
No, her Patronus, I think, is an otter. That's a spell.
That is the lamest guardian spirit ever.
It's not a guardian.
Well, what the hell's the point then?
It's an attack against these specific creatures.
Oh. So you throw an otter at him?
Well, no, like hers is an otter. Harry's is a stag. Somebody has a rabbit. I mean, it's just, I guess it is probably their spirit animal, but an otter's cute. Why would you not want an otter?
An otter is shit in combat, though. Cuteness is not a weapon.
Not magic combat. It's not like it's an otter that's going up and like hitting it with its little paw.
Well, it should.
Well, it doesn't. So get over it.
Fine.
Now you made me forget where I was going with it.
She's got a cat.
Okay, cat. So there'll be like tunnels. They almost look like hamster tunnels that only a small animal can get through. Or you have like paw prints, so the cat needs to dig up something. And Ron has a very crazy dumb owl that like can't fly and just like sporadically moves around. So, I mean, it's
not nice to make fun of the handicapped.
Well, I'm not making fun of it. I said it was cute. Hmm. So it's a fun game. I mean, we're, I think, only through the fifth year. But, they stay true to the movies, and you can be a bunch of different characters.
I was going
to
say, because to me, like, when you're explaining, like, the animals and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, the only one I've played with any great length was Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And that one, there was, like, 50-something characters that
right.
you could be. And there were ones that, you know, you'd have, like, Short Round who could go into the small tunnels yep. and things like that. So are there fewer characters in this that you can be, or like what is the range of characters? Because I remember thinking in Indiana Jones, like they're pulling characters out of their ass, like
right,
like really,
yeah. Because
like,
I played Indiana Jones, yeah.
So I don't need I don't need three kinds of thuggies,
right? And you know, Batman, you only get to play two, so some of them you don't get to play all of them, but I would say. You get to play quite a few characters. I mean, you always get the... Usually it's Ron, Hermione, or Harry. So Cole usually likes to be Ron, and I like to be Hermione, and sometimes I like to be Harry, but...
But enough about your bedroom activities.
Right, right. But you can be, like, Luna. So there's parts in all the movies where, you know, Harry's maybe with Luna, or everybody's kind of separated. So there always needs to be two characters. So that's kind of how you get the other extra characters.
Okay.
So far, it's only been like five.
So is Cole Luna in that situation? Or
yeah, Cole loves Luna.
He strikes me as a Luna person.
He loves Luna. He's always just like, why didn't Harry get with Luna?
That is, you know, that is a phenomenon. Everybody thinks. A phenomenon that I've seen, and I don't personally get it.
I think Cole just likes her, just because she's a fun character.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she reminds him of me. I don't know. Again, whatever.
I wouldn't be. Flattered by that,
no,
if that's the case.
No. But they both deal with death, and they're both kind of outsiders. They both really have felt kind of alone. I mean, her more than Harry, but they both definitely have very weird things going on, and they kind of bond over a lot of things that none of the other people can bond with them with. So I think that's why a lot of people thought that they should get together. I always thought Ginny was cool. I mean, she's hot. Why not?
She is.
You know.
I'll give her that.
So, yeah, it's a fun game. And if you like Lego games and you liked Harry Potter, I mean, you should definitely play it. Because I don't know if any of the actual Harry Potter games based on the movies are worth anything. So.
Excellent.
I think if you really like Harry Potter, you should just play it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just had a thought, actually.
What?
Because I was going to talk about this last week because I was in between games. Because I traded Kingdoms of Amalur a while ago, and Mass Effect didn't come out till this week, so I had a week and a half of no real solid game.
Mm-hmm.
And since I was consistently injuring myself while playing pinball, and I finally beat Cole on that paranormal table.
Yeah,
he
told me
that took like 3 days of consistent play to
beat
him.
And he barely even tried.
I know, and that's what pisses me off because I knew that's what happened with him.
Okay. This is hilarious. So Cole is good at... So I'll let you get back to your thing. This is quick.
Yeah.
So Cole's good at every single fucking game. Like, amazingly good. And he's very easy. So, like, we'll play Halo, and he gets, like, 25 kills. And I'm just like, fuck you. I got five. And he's like, oh, you did good, babe. I'm like, yeah, fuck you. Don't pity party me, okay? So like, and I try so hard to be, you know, just good at these games.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets NHL 2012. And he sucks. And he gets so mad because he plays online. And one, this guy got like 8 goals on him. And he was just like, God fucking damn it. I was like, how's it feel? How's it feel to suck? Suck at a game. Doesn't it fucking suck? And then I go, and you're really bad at one game. You're bad at one game. I'm bad at thousands of games. Most people are bad at lots and lots of games. You're bad at one game. Be happy. And he's like, I'm gonna sell it, this game. And I'm like, do you see like how upset people get when they're not good at games? And like how you're always just like, oh, it's fine, you're fine, you're not that bad, blah blah blah. It's just infuriating. And so like in the corner when he keeps losing, I'm like, oh babe, not so good at a game, are you? Like, I feel bad because he's not bad, but because he really is not that good at it. Mm-hmm. Then I'm just kind of like, justice.
Wow. But yeah, no, he was my nemesis on that damn paranormal table.
And he didn't even know it.
No, I know.
Yep.
Did you listen to the show when you're not on the show?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you heard about the fact that I injured myself while playing fucking pinball? Yeah.
You, and I was at work when I heard that, and yeah. I just kind of went,
Yeah.
And my boss is like, we left, and I'm like, no.
Yeah. So I couldn't play pinball for long stretches of time. Because I'm old and decrepit.
we all know you're old.
Yes. And so I was just digging through, like, what do I got lying around? And I forgot that I had picked up Ratchet & Clank, a Crack in Time.
Yes.
Which is the latest mm-hmm. one that came out up until All in One, or All for One, which I think just came out.
Yeah. The Crack in Time, that's for PS3, right?
That's PS3.
Yeah. I watched my brother play that.
Yeah. And I was thinking about this. And I've played almost all of the Ratchet & Clank games.
Mm-hmm. They're good games.
They're enjoyable games. I did not play Secret Agent Clank, but that was a PSP exclusive. And then when they ported it to PS2, it was shit. So I skipped that one, but I pretty much played all of the Ratchet & Clank games.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this thought that, you know the band The Offspring?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a couple other albums.
Yeah. Ratchet and Clank is the Offspring of video game franchises. In the sense that it is a game that is consistently entertaining mm-hmm. and yet has not evolved at all in like 12 years. Okay,
that's a very good analogy.
I own the vast majority of the Offspring discography.
Was their last one Americana?
No, they've had at least one since then.
Okay.
So I think I've got like 5 or 6 of their albums.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got them all ripped, so they're all in my Offspring file. And I'd shuffle it. And and to this day, I still don't know what album any of those are on, because you can't tell. Because they've literally, the sound has not changed in 10 years.
Oh, that's perfect.
Ratchet and Clank is the same thing. Where,
right.
You know, since the second game, because I actually got in a debate with this with Jeff. When we were at Midwest Meltdown this last weekend, which again, hello everyone from Tapone that is listening. That was a great little StarCraft tournament. I felt really inadequate just watching these guys play. But it was a fun time. But I was sitting there with Jeff and we were talking about this. And Jeff correctly pointed out that the jump from the first game to the second game was pretty significant because they got rid of all the platforming in the second game. So it just became a straight up like third person shooter. Mm-hmm. I'll give him that. But like from the second game, which was a PS2 game, to now, like, nothing has changed.
No. Mm-mm.
Like, it's almost the same mechanics. They do little tiny tweaks throughout it. The big one in this one is that they vastly expanded the interplanetary, like, the spaceship fighting. Whereas before, it was just, like, a level that you did it, but now it's more of, like, a hub world, open world kind of thing, which I like. And it just makes me wish someone would get off their ass and make a proper space combat game again. But yeah, it's like, it's the same goddamn game. But it's fun as hell. Like that's
all fun.
If anything, that's a bigger testament to them is that they can make the same game over and over and over. And
people still
want to
play it. Yeah.
They still want to play it. Every time I watch one of those cutscenes, I'm like, how did this not get made into an animated series? Like, all of the characters are perfect for it. They've got, you know, they've got amazing animators, so it's like it would do extremely well. You could do an animated feature, you could do a series, you could do whatever you want. They never did anything with it.
It kind of reminds me of Invader Zim. Like, parts of it, just like the characters.
There are parts of it. It's not quite as dark.
No, not like the dark, but just like the goofy characters mm-hmm. and just like...
Well, I think of like Earthworm Jim.
Oh yeah, that too.
And that got a series. So
yeah.
Which granted, the creator of Earthworm Jim was a comic artist, so it made a little more sense that it made that jump.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a really fun game. It's now sitting on the shelf because Mass Effect is out. But
poor Ratchet and Clank.
I know. I also picked up Bulletstorm this week.
Yeah.
Because Target has it on clearance for $12.
So that's like, a good deal.
I can do that.
Yeah. I got $12.
Yep. So I just wanted to talk about that because there's just like, well, that's this is funny. The that's, same goddamn game.
That's so true. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good analogy.
Thank you.
I like it.
So I think we could probably wrap up here unless you got anything you want to talk about. I do want to do.
Oh, we didn't have a rumor. We didn't come up with a rumor.
Oh, damn.
Mike's pregnant.
Well, I'm just going to say, you know, we made up the reasons why Ian and Mike are both gone. And let's just say the reason why they're both gone is because they're both at the same place. And by the same place, I mean a seedy hotel together.
Yep.
That's plausible, right?
I think that's completely plausible. All
right. Very good.
I mean, I probably with the video game council of some sort, though.
No.
No?
No, well,
you think maybe some cheap,
I think they're playing Strip Madden right
maybe
now.
Maybe some cheap champagne and strawberries.
Champagne. Yeah. Maybe some Franzia.
Maybe some Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew Franzia mix. Mountain Dew Franzia cocktail.
Maybe some vines. Not Twizzlers, but the red vines.
Red vines? Oh, God. The poor cousin of the Twizzler.
This is painting a horrible picture in my head.
It is. It is. Now just picture Ian and Mike shirtless while this is all going on. There you are. There's your nightmare fuel for the week.
And it's even worse because we saw Wonderlust last night, and there's a scene where all these old, very overweight people are running in slow motion, like completely naked. You don't need to see that. When I'm old, I'm not going to run for that reason, in case my clothes fall off and people can see me naked, because it's not pretty. I don't think anybody running is really that pretty.
No, no one looks good running.
Mm-mm.
Not at all.
No.
I hesitate to make this plug, because we haven't actually recorded it yet, and my worry is if I plug something before we actually do it, it's not going to happen.
Well, you can always edit it out.
I suppose.
You do have that power.
No, I don't actually, because we're not scheduled to record it till after this episode comes out, so I won't know if it'll happen. But I will say this. The Voice Behind, which again is my voice actor show, this week I am scheduled to interview Jennifer Hale, who is the voice of female Shepard on Mass Effect.
So you.
Me, yes. I'll be interviewing myself. I'm going to ask her why she's such a space whore.
Yes, please do.
So, yeah, I'm scheduled to interview her this week, so that should come out next week.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really looking forward to it. She was one of the first people to agree to do the show way back when, but is probably not a big surprise. She's a little busy. Right now, yep. So it's been a little tricky to get some schedule, but I'm scheduled some time with her on Friday, actually. So,
nice.
So I'm looking forward to that. So stay tuned to that next week.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to listen to, there's one, actually, by the time this comes out, there'll be two episodes up, both of which involve voice actors that have done some video game work. And I would recommend them both, honestly. And you can check that out at fancymansgangsters.com/shows/voice. And or you can just click on the Voice Behind link on the main page as well. That would work too.
Nice.
So we should wrap up, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I've gotten that plug out.
Good job.
All right.
You win.
Yay. So I do want to thank Ashley Hay.
Thanks for having me on. Even though I'm not on as much.
You scared all the boys away.
As I used to be. Want to thank you guys always for listening. And make sure you're checking out our Tumblr, which is yetanothergamingshow.tumblr.com, our Facebook page, which is just Yet Another Gaming Show, and our Twitter, which is YAGSFPG. Check all those things, follow us, like us. We post questions weekly about if you had any, you know, like, do you want us to talk about anything specific? Mm-hmm. So let us know and, you know, keep in touch with us.
And we've been slacking a little bit on something like the Tumblr and stuff because
Mike's been gone.
Well, Mike's been gone. And we were going to talk about this last week, but yeah, Mike had a rough week last week.
Yeah.
His aunt passed away and
suddenly
and his dad and his grandma went into the hospital like in the span of like 2 days.
Yeah.
So if you want, and I know he'd appreciate this, if you want to email him, just mike@fancybitsgangster.com. If you wanted to, you know, send it, you know, send any condolences or anything like that to him, I'm sure he would appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can message him on Twitter. It's this is Mike D with an underscore between all of those words.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously our thoughts go out to Mike, and he's been extremely busy just in general. And right. Then this happens. So, yeah, but all of our jobs seems to have exploded on us. So
yeah.
We've been slacking a little bit on the Tumblr and some of the other stuff, but, we're still here. We're still doing shows.
Right.
So we got episode 300 here in a short bit.
Who should we have on? Months. Let's have somebody famous on.
Should get Andrew Zimmern on. Just have him on every.
Did he play video games?
I'm sure he's played a video game or two.
I bet he's got kids that play video games.
He does have kids. We'll just get Andrew Zimmern's kids.
Yeah.
We'll get them on the show. Yep. I think they're like 7.
Why not? We just have to be, you know, PG.
I don't know.
Mike can't be on the show.
Yeah, Mike, stay home.
It would only be Ian.
Yeah, because I think Ian would be a fine children's show host.
I do too. I agree.
Yes.
Why are we complimenting him when he's not here?
I don't know.
Let's stop that.
Yes. Let's just stop the show, shall we?
Okay.
All right. Thank you guys very much for listening, and hopefully you survive just the two of us this week. So I promise to be less long-winded next week.
Well, there's just two of us.
I know.
So we had to be long-winded.
We did. Although you were just medium-winded.
I was a bit mediocre.
Well, I didn't say that. But anyway, thank you guys very much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Like, you don't know the demographic. I hate you.